We're doing the Drashot Aran. We're up to page Taf Mem in the Masada Rav Kook edition. Aran had said that in his opinion, if the Beis Din rules something, it cannot cause harm, even if their ruling doesn't go in line with the heavenly court, so to speak. As we know, the story of Tanur Shel Achnai, as we've been discussing the previous weeks, because the way Hashem created the world, there are things that are positive and then there are things that are detrimental. And we discussed that even in the medical world, we know it's so. There are things that are beneficial, there are things that are harmful. And in the balance of things, the things that are beneficial hopefully outweigh the things that are harmful. And so too here, says the Ran, what Hashem loves is that we listen to the tradition, that we listen to those that are going to guide us in the way of the Torah. And when we do that, so then anything that's harmful by their ruling is minuscule compared to the benefits that we get from going in the path that they've defined. So the Ran says, yeah, it could be in Tanuro Shel Achnai, when they ruled that that oven is defiled, and in heaven the heavenly court said, no, we don't agree, excuse me, that oven is pure, just like Rabbi Eliezer said, as the heavenly voice declared. And the rabbi said, Rabbono Shel Olam, you told us to go by our understanding, and we have to give a ruling based on how we understand. And so we as the court all disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, and as great as he is, he has not convinced us that he's right, and so we have to rule the way we understand. And Hashem says, okay, you guys win. What does that mean, you guys win? That means, technically, if we would have asked heaven, heaven would have said it's pure, like Rabbi Eliezer. Practically, the Torah says no more asking heaven. You cannot give a halachic ruling by the voice of heaven. No prophet can walk in and just say, God told me the halacha is this way. There was one prophet who could do that, Moshe, and ever since then no one else can do it. And even though the court also heard the heavenly voice say, I agree with Rabbi Eliezer, the court said, God, you told us to work with the system that you gave us, and that's what we're doing, and this is our conclusion, so we have to abide by it. And now what happens is that the adherence to the system, says the Ran, gives such benefit that it outweighs any harm that could have happened had they really conceded and not done what they thought. Meaning, the system is what benefits us. And if we're going to weigh, for example, how healthy is it to do something, or how harmful is it to do it, well then, if the courts would have conceded to the heavenly voice, that would be the equivalent of someone saying, I have to check the car out, and I hear it's really good for the engine to hit the gas pedal. He's standing at a cliff and he hits the gas pedal. Very good. The gas will work, but the car will crash. So he did a great job. I hear it's good for my engine to hit the gas real hard. And sometimes the engine, it makes the engine healthier. Very good, but you just drove the car off the cliff, right? So too, the rabbis here said, yeah, maybe in this specific detail, it would be really good if we went with this opinion. But it would destroy the whole system because he gave us a system. We're working with the system. You told us not to take into account heavenly voices. You told us to work with this system. So to destroy the whole system because on this point, well, we're much better off. It is much more to our benefit at this point to go this route. And that is the heavenly system, says the Ran. As we learned earlier, this was a test to the rabbis. The heavenly voice that came out and said, I agree with Rabbi Eliezer, was a test. Are they going to live up to their responsibility to stand up to the system Hashem gave them? And they stood up to the test. As it says, Hashem afterwards said, I'm happy with what they did. I'm sorry, we can't take questions. Let's move on. This was all just a recap of what we learned last week. The same thing happens with regards to our physical body. If someone eats something harmful and he thinks, hey, that's really good for me. Very often, just the thought, the placebo effect, this is good for me, cures people. Unless something's really harmful, you know, you can't take poison and say this is good for me and get healthy. But if you take sugar, and you're convinced it's good for you, it helps you. The mere fact that in our thought, this is good for me, is already good for me. And our appetite grows, and we we digest things better. The idea that something's going to work for you already helps it work for you. So that's a very important concept in everything we do. You know, my kids sometimes have bad dreams. So there's a Yemenite, the Yemenites say that if you save your hadassim from Sukkot, you're a Yemenite. Listen up. If you save your Sukkot, your hadassim from Sukkot, you're hadassim, harabos. Hadassim. From Sukkot. So then, if you put them under your pillow, so then you won't have bad dreams. So I started saving mine from Sukkot. And when the kids have bad dreams, so I have them wrapped in a bag and I say, here, put this under your pillow. They go back to sleep. They sleep well at night. Okay. Eventually my hadassim get finished, right? So one night, one of the kids comes in panicked. I'm having a bad dream. And I don't know what to give them. So they say, Abba, where are your aravos? I'm thinking, I don't know where they are. So I go searching and I can't find them. And the kid says, I can't go back to sleep. Where are your aravos? So I say, try. And 2 minutes later, the kid comes back and says, the bad dreams are back. I can't. So I want to go to sleep. I want the kid to go to sleep. What am I going to do? So I went searching and I'm thinking, what can I give the kid? What can I give him? So I said, you know what? The psamim from Shabbos, on Matzei Shabbos, we smell the psamim, that's also good. So the kid goes, really? I say, yeah. So the kid takes that, and now it's been maybe 3 years. That's like a family thing. Anytime someone has a bad dream, they come knocking on our door. But where are the psamim? I go to the Havdalah box, they hug it, that's their teddy bear. They hug that psamim and they sleep the whole night. So you guys can now go publish, don't publish this, the Frankenthal Sgula, hold your psalmim, you won't have bad dreams. Yeah, I know it's on the record. But the concept, I don't know, you know, I'm not into Sgulos, I don't know. I'm not saying they work or don't work, as I said last night. I'm not here to take a stance. I am here to say that what the Ran just said, that when we believe something's good for us, the mere fact that we're convinced this is going to be good is already very beneficial to our well-being. We react differently. It's going to be good for me. That's one of the reasons that today I'm willing to work with Sgulos, meaning I'm willing to tell my kids, yeah, take them some and that might help you. I don't promise, but I say, yeah, this could help. Try. And it does. Today it's like a given in the house. It helps. Right, the kids are like, who has the psamim tonight? Right, it's under her pillow. Okay, okay. If it works, it works. Ken ha'inyan she'imashech ha'adam achar mitzvat ha'sanhedrin gam ki yesh gu ve'yiru v'davar ha'asur shumutar himashchu achar atzatam ve'yoto nimshach le'divrihem yasirim nafsho kol otoro asher ra'ui she'yitaled mitzad achilat ha'davar ha'asur ha'hu. He says, you know how beneficial it is when you're positive, when you work right? Well, the same thing's true when we listen to the Sanhedrin. Bottom line, we become a positive people. Things are working right. The Jewish people function correctly. The fact that we did a specific action, which if you would have asked Hashem, Hashem would have said, I don't agree. Hashem says, but I do agree. I don't agree on the detail. I agree on the general principle, and that's the way the system has to run. And so the Ran comes back. What the Ran has ended up saying according to this, he's gone on a slightly different path now. He says, I would like to suggest another point, and that is, earlier he said, Hashem gave us a Torah that's a system. And every time the Torah says, do something, that means it's good for you. And when the Torah says, don't do something, that means it's bad for you. And then he said something which, if you would quote this outside, not in the name of the Ran, it would sound very controversial. Because it's not common knowledge. But the Ran says, I want you to know, if the Sanhedrin said, that oven is defiled, when in fact it was not, that's harmful. Because if in heaven they said it's not defiled, so the Ran is working now with the idea that heaven is right. Not the way we would have said. We would have said that heaven says, you're the court, you rule, that's the Torah. And the Ran is saying no. The Ran is saying that means that there's an element where it would have been beneficial to humanity to have that oven as a pure oven. And the court ruled it's defiled. And when heaven said, I disagree, that means heaven said, I disagree. That means in God's world, Hashem, who has infinite wisdom and created a world and knows the system of the world, and Hashem says, hey, that oven is pure, like Rabbi Eliezer said. That means there would have been benefit to the world had that oven been pure. And when the rabbi said it's defiled and they had to rule their ruling, the world lost a certain element of benefit. The world could have had that pure oven. But, says the Ran, Hashem told us, you work with my system, where I tell you that you have to listen to the court. And the amount of blessing by working with that system will by far outweigh any loss that you'll get when the Sanhedrin didn't agree with what I said. So, yes, the Ran is saying, and this is what's controversial to my mind, the Ran is saying that there is harm. It's not that there isn't harm when the Sanhedrin says something that Hashem says, I would say different. But that harm is minuscule. And there's such great benefit by listening to the Sanhedrin that by far outweighs it. And that's the blessing in our life. And it's just like the guy who, he won't hit the gas pedal, right? So his engine will not work so perfectly. But he saved the car. He didn't go off the cliff. So the Ran is saying, you listen to the Sanhedrin, it's not that it's going to be 100%. There will be that oven which you might have been able to use because in heaven they're saying not. But okay, you gained much more by going with the Sanhedrin. And it's not only you gained much more, remember, the Torah says if you don't listen to the Sanhedrin, if a person walks away and says, I'm not listening, he can get the death penalty. Meaning the Torah backs the system to the point of the death penalty. We have the law of Azakin Mamre, where if an elder walks out and says, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I know the great court said this is prohibited, but I'm telling you they're wrong. It is permissible. And even though he might be halachically correct, the halacha is he will get the death penalty. So the Torah backs the system to the point of the death penalty. That means that even if the Ran wants, what the Ran is saying is, it's not that this is 100% in line, but it is 100% the way Hashem wants us to work. Hashem is saying, this is the system I want you to work with. And this is the system that will be most beneficial to you throughout your lives. You guys following? This is a very fine point the Ran is saying. Do we have questions? Not you. No, because you're going to take me on a tangent. Do we understand the concept? Yes? Are we clear? Can I move on?
You summarize it.
What? Summarize quickly. Yes. The Ran said, A, we have a mitzvah to follow the system of the Sanhedrin. B, that is a source of great blessing in our life. C, the Sanhedrin can sometimes say something like defiling a specific oven, where in Shamayim, the heavenly court really meant that oven should be pure. D, nonetheless, the Torah gave me a mitzvah to listen to them. The Torah did not say that if they said it, then heaven says it, and Hashem is going to change all the constellations, and from now on, it will be good not to use that oven. It still remains in the state that in the system Hashem created, you would have been better off using that oven. But nonetheless, Hashem says, your great blessing in life will come from listening to the Sanhedrin, and that by far outweighs any benefit you would have had from using that oven. That's what. Now, the big chidush of the Ran is that he says, don't think that heaven changes the constellations. People usually don't go with the Ran. People will quote to you the Yerushalmi. There's a Jerusalem Talmud that says the following line. You guys are about to be blown away. Okay? This is the Jerusalem Talmud. The Jerusalem Talmud says that if a girl under 3 years old is violated, so she loses her hymen. So the Jerusalem Talmud says, but under 3 years old, the build of a girl is that it's just a wound. It'll heal. It'll go back to its normal way. It won't, she'll have a hymen still when she grows up. So the Jerusalem Talmud then says, but you have to know that it's only until she's 3 years old. Once she becomes 3 years old, then already, if she lost it, she lost it. It won't come back. It won't heal. They're not minimizing what happened. They're just discussing a physical reality. So until here, fine. This is what the Jerusalem Talmud said. It needs to be explained. It's in the Bavli. This part is in the Bavli. The next part isn't in the Bavli, I don't think. Up until here, you're right. It's a Mishnah. I mean, it's in the Bavli, it's in the Mishnah. Up until here is in many sources. What, if I'm not mistaken, I haven't seen this in 2 decades at least, but if I'm not mistaken, the next line, it doesn't say in the Bavli, and it does say in the Yerushalmi, and it says the following, that what happens if a girl was born in Adar? She was born in the month of Adar. So she's supposed to become three in Adar. Or, let's say a girl was born in Nisan. So when the first of Adar comes, so that means in 30 days she's going to be 3 years old. Okay? And then on the 29th of Adar, the courts decide that they're going to make it a leap year. They're going to add another Adar. So her birthday was supposed to be tomorrow. And then her birthday becomes 30 days later. Says the Jerusalem Talmud, if something happens to her during those 30 days, it'll grow back. It'll heal. If the courts wouldn't have made it into a leap year, it wouldn't. But if they do, then it will. So people quote this Jerusalem Talmud and they say, you see, when the courts say something, it shifts everything in the stars. Medically, if they wouldn't have made it into a leap year, then tomorrow it won't heal. And medically, now that they made it into a leap year, she has another 30 days where it will heal. That's a Jerusalem Talmud. That's what it says. So the question is how you understand that. But the question is how you understand the whole concept. It deserves a whole class on understanding the concept in general. It's not as simple as it sounds. But the Ran clearly did not go that route. Meaning what the Ran said is that... What the Ran said is that nothing's changing. Right. There's a system, and it ain't changing. Right. We have to stick by the rules, but the system's not changing. Right. Yes?
It doesn't sound like there's that the Ran is contradicting the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is speaking about a concept that God decrees and allow, and the earthly court is just determining the facts on the ground. And what the Ran was saying here, what we were just discussing, is when the earthly court disagrees with the concept in Shammai.
Beautiful.
Or the earthly court gets a halakhic concept wrong. God already said the earthly court can decide when the times are. And God also said the way a young girl heals. So if the court said, since God already endowed the court with the power to determine the halakhic time, so then the court just determines the time, and then the girl heals or not heals or whatever according to the time. If the court gets something wrong, well, then it's like saying that the court decided that no such concept exists, and God says, excuse me, it does exist. And so then there's a contradiction. Will there still be any good? Is it better for humanity or Jewish people and so forth to abide by the halakhic procedure, which is to go with the wrong answer or not? And so then there's a question of, is it even the wrong answer?
Okay, I accept the distinction you're making. I accept. My point was more to explain. I agree that the Ran doesn't have an issue with the Jerusalem Talmud. I agree with the distinction you made. Obviously, the Ran has to also work with the Jerusalem Talmud. There are answers to that. And I agree with the distinction you made. My point was that people like to quote this Jerusalem Talmud, and then they expand it. And then they say, you see, whatever the court rules, that changes the reality and science and nature, etc. They quote this Jerusalem Talmud as a source to expand it. And the Ran just said, you're making a very good distinction. The Ran just said, though, there's a system and the system doesn't change. You're saying this is within the system. This change exists within the system. Fine. And that it doesn't contradict the Ran, I accept. I accept everything you said. Sounds, I agree. Yeah, fair. It's a good point. Yeah. I don't know where it says that. It says that they decide, but the Gemara seems to work the other way. The Gemara seems to analyze what happens scientifically within the tree. When does the sap start shifting in the tree? And then the Gemara tries to work backwards from that to figure out when the new year for the tree should be. It doesn't sound like the Gemara is saying whatever they'll say, that's what'll be in the tree. It sounds, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah sounds like...
go outside and check.
Show me. I don't remember that Gemara. Show me. I don't know. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, to my recollection, that's not what it says. But check. ולכן צוותה, we conclude, says the Ran, ולכן צוותה התורה ואמרה, that's why the Torah actually gave us the commandment, לא תסום מן הדבר שיגידו אליך ימין ושמאל. Do not veer right or left from what the rabbis tell you, והנה נשלם בזה עניין השופטים ותיקונם. And here, says the Ran, I've concluded explaining the concept of judges and their institutions, how they're supposed to set things up. We're in the middle of the speech, but on this point of the judges, the Ran says, okay, I finished what I had to explain on this point, and next week, Bezat Hashem, we'll start other aspects of understanding the role and responsibility of the judicial system.